Matthew 24, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 24. As I was preparing this message, I really could never quite come to a particular title or for the sermon. I could just never seemed to click. But this morning, as I was pondering and on the front porch over a few final thoughts, the sermon title is this: Ready or Not, Here It Comes. Ready or Not, Here It Comes. I'm going to my introduction is going to be based out of Isaiah 60, but like I said, the meat of the message will be from Matthew 24. I will read to you Isaiah 60, verse 1, and then we're going to move into Matthew 24. So remember the title, Ready or Not, Here It Comes. What's coming? Let's read it. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Verse 2, this is what's coming. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and the deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you. So ready or not, deep darkness is coming. It's already happening. We in our nation have been blessed in that we have been able to sustain and walk in quite a bit of light, while much of our brothers and sisters across the world have had to entertain and walk through darkness. And so we tend to misapply scripture and how it reads and how it works out, because we don't look at it from a worldly perspective. We look at it from an American perspective. But globally, darkness has been moving across Earth over the last basically 10 years that I'm aware of. And now it's come to the shores of America. It's come upon our land. And so we're kind of like a Johnny come lately in the experience of deep darkness covering the earth. So let's read about Matthew 24 now. These are the words of Jesus. These are not words that I made up and taped into my Bible. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled." That's that should be our first reaction. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't look at what's happening and get your eyes off Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus, not the storms. I want to read that one again so it can sink in your brain and your spirit. Verse 4, Matthew 24, verse 4. "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See," verse 6, "that you are not troubled." That's a command he's given us. It's a command. It's not a suggestion. And yet, you look across our nation right now, and you'll see that many within our churches are troubled. They're troubled because they've taken their eyes off Jesus and they're looking at the storm. So there's many within the church, within our churches, that really aren't standing in faith. They're standing in fear, covering it with scriptures to soothe their conscience. "See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass." That means there's something about the purpose and the plans of God that include using the works of darkness. Well, how can he do that? Well, he used darkness for the crucifixion of his son. Sometimes we read the obvious and don't realize what we're reading. He allowed darkness to play out for a prophetic fulfillment of the crucifixion of his son, which then put in stage into action, setting the stage for the resurrection of his son. So darkness permeated Jerusalem, but then the light came. And the resurrection of his son took place. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places. And all these, verse 8, are just the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation, kill you, and you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended. Because some are going to be offended because God didn't take care of them. They just didn't understand the plans and purposes of God. Many will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will arise and deceive many. That's within the church. That's not out in the world. That's what's happening within the church. And verse 12, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. Verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end shall come. Amen. I'm going to summarize and then get into the message here. That's the introduction. We must realize and understand our freedoms of speech and worship are being illegally taken from us in this nation under the notion, under the idea of for health and safety. Rules and laws are being and have been enacted unconstitutionally. Again, with the idea, well, it's for the health and safety of people. But in this passage, Jesus says three things that I'm going to speak about this morning. One, he said Christians will face hatred and betrayal. Get ready for it. Ready or not, here it comes. Get ready for it. It's already happening in our nation. It's been happening in other nations already for a number of years. We think we've been immune to it, and in some sense we have been graced and been immune to it, but no longer. It's come to our shores. It is here. So Christians will face hatred and betrayal, and it's going to be a good thing. How can you say that, Pastor Ollie? Because it's going to expose the real Christians from the false Christians. It's going to be a good thing. It's going to be a type of spiritual pruning within the house, within the family of God. We read John 15 where it talks about how God prunes those that are abiding in Christ. And then it's also said a little bit further down that if we're not producing the kind of fruit we should be doing, it also says then we're also chopped away, not just pruned. Well, I don't like hearing that, Pastor Ollie. Well, I wasn't too excited about giving this message either. But I knew I had to give it. Yes. Because there's going to be an exposing of the real from the false believers. And that, to me, is a good thing. Because we're going to discern, and let me say, we also need to grow in our discernment. This is a time we've been zeroing in with our Wednesday night group about growing in discernment, because this is the time we've got to grow in our discernment. We must grow in our discernment, because Jesus talked about false ministers rising up who would deceive many. That means that there's something that they do that convinces believers they're the real thing. And it's only by the Spirit of God we can discern the difference. So we've got to grow in our discernment. But one of the safeguards he has is he's going to put such pressure upon believers that even those who decide, I've had enough of this, they will leave and no longer be part of the ranks of true believers. And that's a good thing. He said, false teachers will arise and deceive many. But in spite of all this, the true church will arise and preach the gospel. Verse 14. In spite of what's taking place, in spite of what's happening, something supernatural is going to happen within the people of God. And we're going to arise in the face of great opposition. We're going to arise with a supernatural empowerment and continue to preach the gospel, but in a more powerful, more anointed manner than we've done before. We, the church, have been and will remain God's primary vessel, God's primary instrument to preach and present the gospel in this earth. We are to preach and make disciples, according to Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Make disciples. I think what's been one of the great weaknesses of the American church from the late 70s, 80s into our present stage, the churches have not really discipled. We've evangelized. We've had altar calls, but there's been no real discipleship, no real mentoring. And the result is that there's been a weakness within the church, an inability to stand with authority in the face of darkness. Several years ago, I was invited to CFNI to preach to the student body there. And Phyllis and I were there for a season of our life, and we got to be involved in a lot and saw a lot. We were engaged in some of the things. I got this, because of my job, I got to see a lot of things behind the scenes with the leadership and the faculty members. And so we got to see some really neat things and some not really neat things within the body of Christ there at CFNI. But overall, to us, it was a blessing. It was a great time for us in the Lord. And there was like a standard, a quality of individuals that we got to grow and build friendship with there as we went through our years there at Christ for the Nations. So when I was invited to go back and speak some time ago, probably with what, 4 years ago now? About 4 years ago. In my brain, I had the same expectation to see and to experience the same type of spiritual vitality within the student body. And so I got there and sat in a couple of classes before I ministered to my class that I was going to be ministering to. And so I got one of my favorite professors, teachers was still there. And so he sat on his class, sat in Bob's long class. And I was kind of surprised, kind of shocked, really. The lack of respect among those students toward the authority within that room surprised me. I was just stunned. I literally sat there like, are these guys serious? This can't be their attitude. This can't be their attitude. But as I observed and watched, because I was there for 2 days, I began to realize this is their attitude. It was a very nonchalant, take it or leave it, carefree attitude towards those teaching them. In other words, they had no respect for authority that they were sitting under. And it surprised me. It surprised me. But that also revealed to me where the church is at. Because these were our future leaders. And if these were our future leaders, that's scary. And they were all like that. There were some that were very genuine, some very real. But the larger percentage was a take it or leave it attitude. And we had some like that while we were there as students, but the majority were on fire. But this is a whole different thing. It surprised me. Some time ago, Phyllis and I had talked with another gentleman that we love dearly, and he talked about he'd been a teacher there. We asked him if he was going to continue teaching there. He literally said, well, he's not sure, because he said, to teach the stuff I'm supposed to teach, he said, I have to spend so much time laying foundation now. They no longer have the foundation students had 20, 30 years ago. So once again, that tells us about where the body of Christ is in America. We are a shallow church. The American church has become a shallow church. And there's pockets of maturity, there's pockets of believers that of remnant that are true and genuine, that are deep. But by large, as a whole, we are a shallow church in America. And God's going to change that. Like it or not, he's going to change that. So he's going to do some things where he's going to grace his people to rise above. So Isaiah 6 talks about this deep darkness that comes. Well, as it runs its course and it comes to its fullness, God's going to be busy quietly working among his people. That's a current tense. That's a present tense action right now. There's things he's quietly doing among his people. But we got to be willing to sit down and receive of it. I forgot to put up my little sign over there. We must be willing to abide, willing to embrace his supernatural transforming power. We have to be willing to change. We have to be willing to be transformed. And so for those of us who embrace it, God's quietly doing something within those that embrace it. And he's going to saturate us and mature us inwardly in such a way that when he pours forth his spirit, there's going to be an explosion among believers across the world, globally. And there's going to be those that are around that are going to look and say, wow, when did that happen? Well, it didn't happen overnight, even though it may look that way to many. It happened overnight. No. God was quietly working, faithfully working in the hearts of those who abided, embraced, and allowed him to be Lord in their lives. So this great outpouring is going to be, as Joel speaks about, the prophet talks about a latter rain outpouring. Acts 2 was the initial, and we're now moving into the stage of the latter rain that Joel speaks about. The final end time outpouring that will set the stage for the body of Christ in preparation for the end time harvest. It's going to be a modern day Acts 2, Acts 4 experience, but on a much larger, grander scale. It's going to be a global experience. Acts 2 was in one town. Acts 2 was in Jerusalem. Acts 4 was still just in Jerusalem. What's coming is not going to be just in Jerusalem. It's going to be in the highways and byways of every nation, every country. It's going to be in the major cities. It's going to be in the huts of Africa. It's going to be so grand, no man will be able to boast of it and in it. And I'm going to share a warning with that. And those who try to grab hold and take glory for it, God will move them out of the way. This is what's coming. He's not going to share with any man. The Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, talks about how we as believers are to look for and hasten the coming day of God. We're to play a part in this. And so we engage in this. So how do we hasten his coming? We must continue to preach and disciple. I was reading I've got this Facebook page. What do you call them? Facebook page. I got a Facebook page now, and so I'm able to, get friended by other people. And I've got people who are friends and of friends who I've never known. But I happened to come across one particular name that I knew, even though I'd been quite a while since I've talked to this individual's a pastor of another church, and so I began to read through his little comments, and it was interesting. Because he was talking about the COVID experience, what's happened with his family, and he's saying, and with his church. He made an interesting comment. And I read it, I thought, I think he's finally getting it. This is what he said. I've begun to realize now I've never had really discipled my people. That's what he said. I've begun to realize now I have never really discipled my people. This is a pastor. And he's not the only church like that. So I encourage you guys, get into a place where you are mentored and discipled. We offer it here in this house. Those of you out there who are listening today, submit yourself to somebody who you know walks with the Lord genuinely and learn. Sit at their feet and learn and drink of their grace and anointing that they walk in. And then from that, sit and drink from the presence of the Father. So that between both of those, you will be nourished. God knows how to feed his sheep. Amen. So I encourage you in that. So the gospel will be preached throughout the earth. I've listed four areas in how it will be done. So how do we hasten? By preaching and discipling. The earth will be evangelized in spite of what's taking place, in spite of the darkness, deep darkness covering the earth. Light is going to break through. Number one, by his church, by his disciples who carry out God's heart for the lost. And that's a challenge within our church right now. Because this is the way most people think. Lord, send somebody to minister to that person. It is rare you hear them pray, Lord, send me. Lord, send somebody else. No, you've got to get to the point where you make it a personal request of yourself. Lord, use me to save somebody else. Lord, use me to save somebody else. Use me to sow seeds of salvation. Use me to disciple and mentor somebody else in how to know God. We stand the gap, not our neighbor. We stand in the gap, not our neighbor. We must be willing to be as Christ. So we have a heart for the lost, not from works, but from a passionate love for the lost that Father God has for them. Second area that earth will be evangelized is through the two witnesses in Jerusalem. Revelation chapter 11. Scripture makes very clear in that little passage that the whole world's going to watch. That's one of the neat things about where we're at now currently with all this internet and communications, is that you can see things that are happening across the world exact moment time, what we call live. And so that's one of the other ways. And the third way is by the 144 commissioned Jews to evangelize the world. The 144,000 commissioned Jews. It's Revelation chapter 14. They'll begin in the Middle East and they'll branch throughout the earth. And then the fourth way, and I want to read about this before you turn over to Revelation chapter 14 so you can see for yourself where it says this. It's that angels are also going to evangelize the earth. Angels will evangelize the earth also. Why is this important? Because believe me, as darkness increases, as deep covers the earth, the scheme of the enemy will be to hinder the body of Christ to evangelize the world. So in other words, what we now enjoy through internet, through communication, electronic communication, that's going to come to an end. Our ability to communicate through the internet, through the electronic means of communication, that will come to an end. It will. But guess what? It can't stop the Spirit of the Lord. That's why we have to grow in our discernment. That's why we have to grow in our ability to hear the voice of the Lord and to walk in full agreement with it. Because when that ability to communicate comes to an end, he takes over. And he begins to speak loudly among his people. He begins to lead and stir us supernaturally in ways that the devil can't stop. Amen. But we've got to get ourselves in a place where we learn how to hear and walk by the Spirit of God. Right now, there's much in the body of Christ. I don't even believe in the Spirit of God. They believe in Jesus, but that spirit stuff passed away with the apostles. They're going to have an awakening of truth within the Word. And God will give it to them if they really wanted to abide with Jesus. He will break through their wrong theology and say, this is what my word truly says. So angels will be used of God to evangelize the earth. It's an amazing thing. Revelation chapter 14, verse 6. It says, the proclamation of the three angels. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth. That's in the Bible. I'm not making this up. So while the enemy tries to stop the communication of truth through the networks of the airwaves, God, no problem for him. He'll just send an angel to speak over the airwaves. He'll anoint his people to walk in such light and revelation that there'll be such supernatural impartation that it, no matter what the devil does, he can't stop the gospel from going forward. They'll preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. So where the church has failed to go, this angel will not. Where the church has failed to go, this angel, these angels shall accomplish the full gospel across the earth, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and springs of water." This is in the Bible. So where we fall short, God fills the gap through his angelic host. That's in the Bible. Everybody out there still with me? Yeah. Amen. Good morning. So one way or the other, the gospel will be preached. One of the neat things I see happening within the demonstration of the gospel is within the Middle East. There, if you preach it publicly, basically you're ensuring yourself one of two things. One is you'll immediately be put in prison for life, or you'll be beheaded and merrily sent your way. I'm going to say that one again. You'll either be put in prison for life or merely beheaded and sent your way. So what are they doing there? What is it they've managed to readjust by the wisdom of God? They now evangelize not by the preaching of the gospel, but by the demonstration of the power of the gospel. Yes. What do I mean by that? They are literally discipling other people about the ways of God. They're not just saying, you got to believe Jesus and get saved. No, they're now demonstrating how God is blessing their life. And it's from that demonstration of their lifestyle that they're now getting the attention of these Muslims. Because you see, their God is keeping them in darkness. Their God is keeping them in bondage. Their God is keeping them in a place of hatred toward all other people. And so as they see this unconditional love expressed through these quiet Christians who are allowed spiritually, it's getting their attention. And they are slowly but effectively evangelizing and turning their areas, their regions around. Right now, the greatest land of revival is in the Middle East. In Iran, right now, they're experiencing one of the greatest underground revivals, greater than China's. And they can't do it over the airwaves, or they'll be imprisoned. They're doing it one-on-one in their community, in their little village setting, in their little community markets. They are winning souls one at a time by the power of God at work in them, as they lay hands on them, as they pray for them, as they reveal truth and how God has changed their situation. They're making a mark on these individuals. And one of the amazing stats in this is that the leadership of this underground church, they have no place to go to a Bible college. They have no place to go to, quote, formal training. So what are they doing? They are being trained, just as in the book of Acts, under and in by the power of the Holy Spirit. They are truly in the school of the Holy Spirit. as they go forward in what God's doing in them and through them. They had no choice but to believe the necessity of the Holy Spirit. They needed it. And so we're going to need it here in America. We are going to need it here in America. We're moving in the same direction. Matthew chapter 10. Turn there, and we're going to close with this. Matthew chapter 10. While you're turning there, I'm going to get a quick drink of water. This is an exciting chapter. I encourage you to take time to read verse 16 through verse 42 on your own. I'm just going to cover a small portion of this passage. But in this passage, Jesus talks about how believers will face persecution. Exciting teaching. Exciting word. Jesus was not invited to many churches to preach this message. It was not high on the selling list of favorite messages by Jesus. But I want to talk about what will happen in terms of also the supernatural. God's going to begin to work prophetically within his people in a way where we begin to walk in what I refer to as prophetic evangelism. Prophetic evangelism. So let's start with verse 24. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher and a servant like his master. If they had called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household? Mini-me's. Mini-bees. It says, therefore do not fear them. Verse 26, therefore do not fear them. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, and nothing hidden that will not be known. Here's the part we're getting to. For whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. As we abide, as we walk in fellowship, as we give ear to the voice of the Lord, he will speak to us things that we need to know in order to evangelize and speak to others. Prophetic evangelism. So when we what we've heard in the dark, we speak in the light. Those that hear it know it's from God. They know it was more than just us giving them a word in due season. They know it was a word from God that was speaking and piercing their heart in a point of need within them. Prophetic evangelism. And do not fear those who kill the body and cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to both to destroy body and soul in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from the Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, for you are of more value than any sparrow. Now, this gets into a whole thing that's just mind-boggling in my brain, but at the same time, it's also an amazing mystery in terms of how God works among his people. But the bottom line is this, is that God wants to anoint us to be prophetic voices to those who have gotten tired of being in darkness and want a way out. That's our opportunity. That's our future. That's your future. God wants to train you and equip you to become such a vessel that you become a voice of light to the heart bound in darkness, wanting a way out. God will grace us with prophetic words to speak that'll touch their heart in such a profound way that says, I've had enough of this. I want Jesus. I've had enough of this. I'm coming out of darkness. I want to go to the light. So really for us as the body of Christ, we really are looking at our greatest season as a church. We are really fortunate to see something that is tremendous and wonderful for us ahead as we begin to walk in ways. We're going to have our own Book of Acts experiences. What we read in the Book of Acts would become a part of our lifestyle. So we must develop a lifestyle that expresses God's unconditional love and the ability to demonstrate God's supernatural power to heal, to restore, and to set people free from their bondages and their darkness. This is neat. This is our exciting future. So you just keep abiding. You continue to let Jesus be Lord. He will orchestrate your life. He will teach you. He will feed you what you need. And he will prepare you for your assignment. Whatever it might just be to your family, might be to your community, might be across the state, might be somewhere overseas. Doesn't matter. He will prepare you for your assignment, whatever it is. You just have to be willing to be transformed. Amen? Yes. All right. So, Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, as Paul writes in Philippians, the work that was begun shall be completed. So I thank you, Lord, that you continue to love on us in such a way that we desire to be transformed, that we desire to be fully equipped so that we can fulfill our destinies in Jesus' name. So I thank you, Lord, for blessing all those that are today listening through the live streaming. Bless their home, bless their family, bless their walk with you. Continue to grace them with courage to walk with you in spite of opposition, even within their families. In Jesus' name, amen. Blessing, guys.